Morning. The reading this morning is from Romans 12, starting at verse 4, which is on page 1139 of the Church Bible. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. God.
Let's pray together before we look at the passage. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your word to us. Thank you that it's timeless. It still has lessons to teach us today as it did for the people to whom it was first written. Lord, speak to us as a church this morning. Speak to us individually. Give us ears to hear and receive your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing this morning in a series we began a couple of weeks ago on living for Jesus, and that's our theme as a church this year. And leading up to this point in the book of Romans, Paul has given a wonderful explanation basically of what the gospel is. And he starts by explaining that everybody has fallen short of God's perfect standards, and that because God is just and holy, then because of that we are under condemnation. But God is merciful, and in sending Jesus to die for us, his perfect obedience and perfect life being our means of perfection, we are declared righteous when we trust in Jesus. And that opens up to us the possibility of a day-by-day, a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus that we would never have known on our own. And that is wonderful good news for us today. So we get to chapter 12, and Paul sort of changes emphasis, really, and begins to talk about, to unfold what this means in everyday life. And as we reach verse 4 today, he's beginning specifically to talk about what this means for the church community. And I'd like us this morning just to pick up on two different thoughts which are very much interlinked. And the first of those is the idea that we belong to each other. In verse 5, we heard these words. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. The Amplified version of the Bible picks up on this verse by saying, individually we are parts of one another, mutually dependent on one another. Mutually dependent. I don't know if you will find this hard to believe, but Co-op Funeral Care every other year does a survey of the top music played at funerals. And based on 30,000 funerals that they were involved with in 2016, last year, the top choice of funeral music was Frank Sinatra's song, My Way. I guess most of you will know that, so I will resist the temptation to break into song. Basically, it's a proud anthem celebrating living life in a self-confident, a self-sufficient way. When I get to the end of my life, I would hate the thought that anybody thought that that had been the way that I lived. I'd hate that to be their thoughts today. It's so much at odds with what we see Paul talking about here, what he's calling his people to be and to do. When we start life, we are completely dependent on our parents for absolutely everything. And as we grow, we gradually learn to be independent in different ways. And that's a very right and healthy process in life. That's the way things are. But if it ever reaches the point where we think we can be completely independent of other people, then I think sadly we've missed the point. We were created by God to be interdependent, not independent. That's just a small difference of letters, but a huge difference of meaning. Often we think that not being able to manage on our own is a sign of failure, whereas God has actually designed us to rely on one another. I remember a time back in my college days when I was waiting at the end of term to be picked up by my parents. And they were well overdue, and it was in the sort of pre-mobile days, and there was nothing that I could do about it, and I didn't know what was happening. And eventually they did roll up, and my mum took me quietly to one side and explained that Dad had set off down a particular road and had carried on confidently, thinking that he knew exactly where he was going. And he was simply unwilling to stop and ask directions and turn around and go in the right direction. A few sheepish looks, maybe. And in a sense, in the very act of trying to show that he could cope on his own, he'd proved the point that he couldn't. Paul speaks of Christian believers being a body, many members having different functions, but still one body. And he talks at greater length when he writes to the Corinthian church about what it means to be a body. And in that particular passage, he says that no member is indispensable. Each member needs all the other members. And that's where I want to sort of turn our thoughts to the second idea this morning, that each of us does have different gifts within the body. Put at its simplest, I think, if I have gifts that other people don't have, and other people have gifts that I don't have, then life is going to be much better for each of us if we share those gifts, if we draw on those gifts. And that's not rocket science. It's a basic lesson for life of drawing on one another. But particularly, it's a lesson for the church community. And Paul stresses that each of us has gifts. Do you really believe that? Do you look around at others maybe and think, wouldn't it be wonderful if I was like them, if I had this particular gift? And somehow feel that you've missed out. I think a better way of looking at it is to sense that maybe you haven't yet discovered your gifts, rather than that you don't have gifts in the first place. Sometimes it takes a while to tease out exactly what our gifts are, but they will be there. That's the promise of Scripture. So how do we find them? I think sometimes God does make it very obvious through the situations that we face, through the way that he uses us in everyday life, often in ways that we couldn't possibly have imagined. Often it's not very dramatic at all. It emerges through the things, the situations that we're involved in everyday life. But maybe it comes through our earnest prayer to God that he will show us. And he begins to point out to us in ways that we can't fail to recognize what our calling is. Maybe it comes through sensing that we have a deep concern, a great passion for something, that we sense something stirring within us. Something makes us feel alive. That's a sign of what God is doing within us and through us. Maybe it comes through others seeing things in us, appreciating what we're able to do, and pointing out to us God's working in us and through us. And often I think it emerges when we get close to each other as Christians and begin to encourage one another in our gifts. Life groups are a wonderful place for that to happen, where relationships are close, where we trust one another, where we can be honest with one another and share what we see. At my secondary school, we were divided into 8 houses for sports competitions each year. And I particularly remember one year, the school swimming gala. And my house was looking for somebody to swim a length of breaststroke. And I decided I'd volunteer. Now, this was quite a risky strategy on 2 counts. First of all, it was an all-boys school. And in those days, and probably still today, that can be a fairly unforgiving place for losers. But probably the bigger risk was the fact that I'd never swum a length of breaststroke before. And my dive into the pool wasn't particularly graceful, but it was okay, and I set off down the lane. But the difficulty was that the further I got, the greater the proportion of my body that was underwater. And embarrassingly and sadly, it reached the stage where I had to be dragged out of the pool on the end of a long pole in front of several hundred amused boys, should we say. And that was hardly the highlight of my sporting career. And while I wouldn't advise being as reckless about how we approach the whole issue of gifts, I still think the underlying principle at times of being prepared to give things a go and at times not getting it right is better than not stepping out in faith and exploring with God what our gifts are. Maybe it's something as simple as coming along to our Friday night group for youngsters, Glow, seeing what goes on, helping in a low-key way, chatting to children, and actually finding it's something that you really enjoy and that you hit it off with the children and it comes quite naturally. Maybe in a life group you are asked to and you decide you will lead a study. And people comment afterwards that it was really helpful the way that you led the discussion, the points that you drew out. Maybe God is stirring something there. Maybe it's helping behind the scenes at a church event. and the way that you organise things, the way that you're willing to serve, helps that event to go really smoothly and has a positive impact on how things are. Or maybe it's just drawing alongside somebody who's already involved as a leader in an area of ministry, of learning from them and finding that that's a means of fanning into flame something that's stirring in your own heart. Paul tells us that we do all have gifts. We all have different gifts. And he says, according to the grace given to us. I don't think that means that God gives more grace to some people than others, or that in some sense one gift is more important than another. I think what he's talking about is the nature, the way in which his grace is expressed to each of us. It's wrong to think that one gift is more important than another, that one that might seem somewhat spectacular is more important than something more mundane, that somehow prophesying trumps serving, or teaching trumps encouragement. I was thinking back on my own journey of discovering gifts, and thankfully it's moved on a bit since that fateful day of jumping into the swimming pool. And in terms of teaching, the way that that came about was that Francis Taylor, who some of you will know, the vicar to before Trevor, took me to one side one day and said, "I think you might have a gift for teaching. Would you be ready to do some training?" And it sort of all developed from that. In terms of serving, it's just something that I've always felt passionate about and wanted to do. And in terms of administration, which Paul lists as a gift elsewhere, I sense that's just also always been a part of life. I can remember my early days as an only child, spending a lot of my time collecting different things and organising them and writing different lists. It was embedded from an early age. And then my working life in the civil service had administration running through it in one way or another. And now here at church, quite a lot of what I do is about administration, which many of you will know because you've been on the receiving end of that, for better or for worse. Are these all spiritual gifts? Are they natural talents? Are they natural talents that God is using in some way? In some ways, I don't think that debate really matters. Instead, I believe that God has made me as an individual with particular gifts that by his grace I can use. And that's true for all of us, that there are natural, there are spiritual, there are whatever gifts that we have. God has made us that way. And our responsibility, in a sense, is to discover those and use them. And also, even if we think that we found the gifts that God has given us, to never close off the possibility that God may have new things for us. Don't let other people typecast you because of what you've done in the past. And don't typecast yourself because of what you have been. With God, that I believe there is always more. There is always something new. And we need to be open to those possibilities and to embrace them. The gifts that God gives demand that we live interdependently. And if we don't, we miss out and others miss out. If we don't use the opportunity to express our gifts, then we don't experience the outworking of God's power through us we don't see ourselves and others growing in faith. Paul talked earlier, as I mentioned, about each member belonging to all the others. When I was young, I remember having these stickers that I often put in the front of my books saying, "This book belongs to." I don't know whether, yes, there's a few nods there. And what that meant was, this is my book. I have first call on it. Okay, if I want to, I can lend it to somebody else, but at the end of the day, it's my book. So when Paul talks about each of us belonging to all the others, he's talking about a strong interconnectedness between us. He's not talking about something soft and fluffy, about keeping an occasional eye out for one another. He's talking about a deep bond of concern, an acceptance of the fact that I flourish best when I'm prepared to allow myself to belong to others, and that I'm in a position where I am free to make demands on other people. Now, okay, I recognise that that is open to abuse, but hold that thought for a couple of weeks' time when we begin to talk about love later on in the chapter, because I believe that where love is sincere, then we can have the confidence as a church community to live in that interconnected way. Discovering and using our gifts in ways that enrich our church life, our community life together, will have an impact on the wider world. And it's part of living for Jesus that we're trying to do more of this year. You probably heard this before, but I love the words of Eric Liddell, the film Chariots of Fire, which is now amazingly 35 years old. Some of the words that he says in that film about the 1924 Olympics. He said, "I believe that God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." I'd love us all to discover more of God's purpose for us, to discover his gifts for us in their fullness, to use them interdependently, and as we do, to feel God's pleasure, to feel God's well done to us as we step out for him. God is gracious. He has given his grace to each of us in full measure and in different measure. Let's respond to his gifts to us. Let's be quiet together for a few moments. So we were praying before the service this morning. We had a sense that using our gifts together and being interdependent, mutually dependent as a church community isn't something that stifles us, but is actually something that gives us freedom. That when we have the honesty, the confidence to admit that we can't live life on our own, then it brings a real sense of freedom as we walk together and rely on each other. So Lord, I pray this morning that we will have an increasing confidence to share our lives with each other, to be bold in using our gifts, to draw alongside others, to encourage the gifts in them, to be open to you about new things that you'll be wanting to do in us and through us. Lord, that we'll find a real excitement in our closeness to one another and to you. And Lord, that this year will be one in which living for Jesus for each of us becomes a greater reality day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.